actually so far. This is SRN News.
Hello, this is Patrick Highland with the Sports Zone. Heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.
Passionate about sports? Want to talk college, prep, or pros? It's time to enter the Sports Zone with Patrick Highland. Call in. Tell Patrick how you see it. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, toll free 877-969-8600. And now, your host, Patrick Highland.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Appreciate you tuning in to a beautiful Sunday morning here in Tampa. Hopefully everybody had a beautiful Easter last Sunday, and we're going to have a great week coming up. Going to be beautiful weather tomorrow. And, as I always like to start out the show, I need to thank our military men and women out there that have done it well. And we appreciate it because freedom isn't free. Okay. Also, our firemen and policemen out there doing a bang-up job every day, trying to keep us safe and stay out of trouble. And I know we give our teachers a hard time, but you know what? It's the same old thing. We want to pick on the one cop out of 100. We want to pick out, you know, on the one teacher out of 100. And the parents aren't helping when they don't send their kids to school prepared. So shout-out to our teachers out there, too, and all our first responders. All right, folks, let's get into some sports. You can call us at 877-969-8600. Joshua Levinson, good morning, young man.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you today?
Doing great. Going to see if the Rays can avoid a sweep today. Enjoyed the first round of NBA playoffs yesterday. We're in that good spring season where there's some different things going on.
Absolutely. Scott Levinson, good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Now we're talking.
Fantastic.
Just don't be a fanatic.
No, okay. This time of year I get a little fanatic. I mean, like Joshua said, we got NBA, you got the Rays starting off, got the Lightning heading into the playoffs, we got the Bucks making some stupid moves, and everything's great.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how they do this year. Drafts in 2 weeks, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. Josh, would you agree we need a left tackle badly? And I hope one falls to us, and I might even be tempted to trade up for one, my man. What's your thoughts?
Trading up or not is hard to know depending on who we evaluate. You know, if we've got a big grade on a guy who falls to a top 10 grade on a guy and he falls to us, then, you know, however it may go. We have a couple of different holes. That's the reality. If we obviously left tackle is one, we need to help fortify the front seven a bit. If we trade Devin White like he apparently wants to do, then we're going to need a linebacker. If we trade Mike Evans, we're going to need another wide receiver. So there's lots of holes. I think you just need to trust your board, do the due diligence, and you take the best player available.
So you're really a best player available type
always,
of guy.
Because you never know the way that your roster is constructed today. Could be different than it is by week one and will be different than week eight. You never know with injuries who's going to step up, who's not. Late round pick that winds up playing like a starter, guy you think is going to be a starter that winds up progressing and doesn't play as well. So for me, it's an asset acquisition type thing. You want to just acquire as much talent as you can and then figure it out from there.
Well, you know, I remember a few years ago, Scott, when we were on the air live on a Thursday night special, and O.J. Howard fell to the 17th pick of the first round, and the Bucks took him, and you and I were stunned.
I went nuts on that pick, and I, to this day, you know, I can't say he's done a horrible job. I think he's done a good job.
But not worthy of first round for 15th.
But when he picked O.J., that drove me up a wall.
And that was the best available player, though, at the time. He really was.
You didn't need him.
But there we go.
That's my problem.
You always need talent.
Okay. It's funny. Everybody, you know, agrees to disagree on this one, Josh.
So if the best available player last year when we drafted was a quarterback, we should have taken him? No. You can't. When you're in the, especially, there's two modes you're in. If you're in the win now mode, you got to fill in your spots.
I mean, our team, but your example right there is kind of silly, but if we had spent a first rounder on the best player available and it was a quarterback last year, we'd be looking a lot better right now, wouldn't we? Who was our first round pick last year? Right.
But Baker Mayfield, you know.
I mean,
he wouldn't want after him, and what if the guy they drafted, would he be ready? I don't think any of the quarterbacks who were drafted last year were ready. So that's the other thing, too.
I'm looking at it, and you have to either you're tanking the season, and that's when you take your best available players, I believe. But if you got holes to fill, you got holes to fill. And I think they're caught somewhere in between right now. They don't know if they've got a season or they don't got a season.
That's correct. That's how I see it, too.
That's how I'm looking at the moves they're making.
Josh, do you see playoffs realistic in the Bucs' future for next year?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
so
not.
So does that change the way you draft and how you operate this year?
No.
Okay.
Does it for you?
Yes, it does.
In what way?
Well, I'm going to look at maybe doing some different things, filling some voids, that if I'm not in the win mode now, I'm in the rebuilding mode, which I agree with you. I do believe it's rebuilding time. Can Baker Mayfield keep him competitive? Yeah, I think he can, and that's the main thing. But then we'll see next year. Okay, can they fill in the pieces? Can these guys gel? You know, we talk about pieces. How many more years does Ryan Jensen have, Josh? You know, one or two? You know, depending on how that knee holds up. So you're going to need a center. I mean, he was a crucial part to the Bucs' success. And, you know, they're going to need some offensive linemen.
Yeah,
I think you get the best available, Josh, but also need has to be real close to that.
Sure. If there's a couple of guys that are similar, then you prioritize need. If the resumes are comparable, you have a same draft grade on them, then, of course, you fill the hole that's more pressing in that moment. But football is way too fluid. Things happen and change all the time. And so the way your roster is, again, it changes way too much. We went from having a surplus of pass catchers in Gronk and AB and Godwin and Evans and all these guys, and now we don't.
Speaking about O.J. Howard not being here and, you know, a tight end, I'm curious if a tight end's going to emerge.
Our front seven, when we had Sue and JPP and all these different guys, it's not the same Shaq. It's not the same as what it was. And that's the reality. Our roster is not good enough to just – oh, we only have one hole to fill, and then all of a sudden we're going to make the playoffs again. No, we have one of the worst rosters in the conference, if not the entire league. The rest of our division is getting better. The Falcons keep acquiring pieces. The Saints are definitely better from the quarterback upgrade alone. And the Panthers are going to get the number one overall pick, which is going to be an upgrade over what they were rolling out last year. So we're going down. The rest of the division's going up. We need way more than one pick. I'd be fine with, again, if we aren't in love with someone that falls to us in the first round, be fine with trading it and acquiring more picks. Jason Light, I think, has proven himself to be pretty good at this. For a job that, if you're hitting at 30-40% in the draft, is pretty dang good, especially when you look at other GMs and the decisions they make. Again, it's a crapshoot. It is.
It is. I just, when you take a questionable pick, though, Josh, and it turns to be a bust, you know, that 30 for 40% really looks bad because you're like, dang gummit, man. If you were at least taking somebody there, you might have got it up to 50%.
I think also, in its human nature, we tend to give him more crap for the bust.
True.
Than we do for the big pick. You know. For picking a kicker, for picking O.J. Howard, for picking. Yeah. We tend to pick on those. Now with his retirement, mm-hmm. I'm still going back to Gerald.
Would you think, this is a great question, does Gerald McCoy make the Buccaneer Hall of Fame at the stadium?
Yeah, 110%.
Really?
Yeah, there's no questions asked. He was the face of our franchise for all those years, the dark years where we were not good at all. He was our best player, regardless of how he was around the league. He was our best player for multiple seasons. Six-time Pro Bowler, made an All-Pro team. His resume is comparable to Mike's.
Okay. So he makes the Hall of Fame.
Unfortunately, he will always be compared to Ndamukong.
Yeah,
they will always be linked.
That's
and
true.
He didn't measure up. Now, Ndamukong was a total ass at times.
Yes.
But I think over the career, and yeah, did Ndamukong happen to land in the right spots at the right times? But doing it all over again?
I just, it's going to be close, Josh. You're like emphatic that I'll see his name.
Oh, I think you will in the Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor, yes.
The Bucks Ring of Honor.
Bucks Ring of Honor. Is he a Hall of Famer? No.
Josh?
No.
Okay.
He's not.
Okay.
And so, again, though, y'all.
Is
it Dominican? We talk about Mike.
Ooh, that's going to be a close one.
No,
if he didn't have those.
Is, yes. He's
you think good. He is?
Yes.
He is, but his antics could hurt him. So we'll see.
He might not be first ballot.
He's not first ballot, but he'll make it.
No, we'll see.
He'll make it. You've got.
Do you think it gets? He gets in before it goes to the Veterans Committee. Let me throw that one out at you. See, I think he might have to wait to the Veterans Committee.
I don't know how that works.
Well, that's if you don't get enough votes your first 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah. So.
Oh, he'll be in before 10 years if that's it. I believe.
Yeah, because it's comparable to your peers.
Right.
And during this stretch, what other dominant?
As long as he gets enough votes. I mean, what can happen is 5 years, and then your sixth year, you don't get the votes. Then guess what? You're not coming on the ballot for 7, 8, 9, or 10. So let me make that clear.
I guess I'm just thinking again the compos. Aaron Donald, absolutely in. And then from current era, like
sure.
Fletcher Cox.
Ooh, that's close, man. He was a heck of a ball player.
That's what, it's guys like that. Even a Geno Atkins, Haloti Ngata.
No. Good. Very great.
Vince Wilfork.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. He was something.
I think Sue has a better resume than Wilfork.
Who?
Ndamukong.
Sue.
But again, guys, back to the Bucks thing.
But Wilfork was more of a game changer.
Sure, and he was on the Patriots, so he was more consequential. But again,
correct.
With the whole Mike Evans thing, people talk all the time about Mike, absolutely Hall of Fame. So if you think that Mike Evans is an NFL Hall of Famer, unquestionably, he only has 4 Pro Bowl bids and no All-Pro bids. And that is what people look at. Gerald McCoy,
right.
6 Pro Bowl bids and 1 All-Pro. And it has to be comparable to the other players at your position when it comes to the Hall of Fame.
The thing with Evans is consistency,
sure,
reliability, dependability, and he's done something no other receivers have done.
No, and that's when
he's got numbers.
But again, the thing
and
that
records that others don't.
The thing that he's done that no one else has done didn't equate to winning.
That's true. You know, we've had this
discussion. Tom Brady doesn't win a Super Bowl without Mike Evans, period.
BS.
Period.
BS. You could rotate.
Not here in Tampa, period.
You could rotate in those receivers.
No.
It was our defense and our offensive line that won us that Super Bowl, and you know it.
Nope. I disagree vehemently. Our defense had
Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Rob Gronkowski were more than good enough to make up for whatever Mike Evans was providing. Come on.
I do.
He was helpful.
You're right. He was helpful.
Look, when you look at that team, your number one receiver on that team, and when you look at the way defensive played us, was Mike Evans. They doubled the guy every game. He was the man that worried teams. When you look at the other defenses, the way they ran their defenses, it was to stop Mike Evans. It wasn't to stop Godwin. It wasn't to stop Gronk. It was Mike Evans. That allowed the other guys to shine.
True. Now, the other thing I would like to look at, Josh, and you have Mike Evans' stats over there. See, people don't realize 16-game season, getting 1,000 yards. Yeah, that's wonderful and fantastic. But
it's not fantastic. It's not fantastic. It's this arbitrary number that people want to throw out there. 1,000, it means you average, 60 yards a game?
I'm getting worried. He and I are agreeing too much.
How many people have done it?
What does it amount to?
How many have done it?
Well, that's something to look at, too. I'll tell you what, we'll continue this conversation, and we'll take your calls at 877-969-8600. That's 877-969-8600. Hang in there. When we come back, we'll talk some more Bucks. We'll get to the Rays and going to talk about the Lightning and their matchup against the Maple Leafs. A lot of people from Toronto reside in Tampa Bay, so that'll be fun. All right, folks, hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. It's the captain here. I want you to check out the stem cell activation pads that will do wonders. Give them a call, 727-776-4552. Better, safe, more energy, improved skin, and increased health with a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Call 727-776-4552 for the stem cell activation patch that will do wonders and tell them the captain sent you. That's 727-776-4552.
Hello, this is Patrick Hyland with the Sports Zone. Heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.
You're capturing a lot more than just a selfie when you take a picture with your smartphone. While it's said that a picture is worth a thousand words, it's also worth your private location data. I'm Kim Komando, America's Digital Pro. Your phone keeps track of your location for a lot of good reasons. Many apps need your location to provide personalized info based on where you are. Think Google Maps or Uber. But there's one thing you probably don't know, that location tracking extends to your photos. When you take a picture, your phone stores metadata, and that metadata might include the date it was taken, the camera settings used to capture it, and the location where it was taken at. And when you share that image, anyone can have access to that data, even a stranger. To stop location sharing on your iPhone, open the image that you'd like to share. Go to Options and toggle off Location. On Android, open your gallery, select the photos, go to Details, and then click Remove Location Data. When you need great content on the go, be sure to get my daily longer podcast. It's called Kim Komando Today.
You can Google anything, but you can't Google trusted advice. And that's why millions just like you turn to Kim Komando every day on national radio, television, and USA Today to help protect and secure your computers, smartphones, televisions, and most important, to keep you and your family safe from hackers and scammers. If you're not already getting Kim's free breaking security alerts, you're missing a critical component to living in today's digital age. You can sign up now at komando.com/subscribe. Kim sends these free email newsletters to your inbox only when data breaches could expose your personal information. And when hackers find new ways to break into your computers and devices, Kim is always looking out for you. It's easy and free to get Kim's breaking security alerts. Go to komando.com/subscribe. Enter your email address and that's it. That's komando.com/subscribe. komando.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to the Sports Zone. Let's get back to the discussion. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, toll free, 877-969-8600. And now your host, Patrick Hyland.
All right, welcome back into the zone, the Sports Zone here on AM 860, The Answer. 877-969-8600. Give us a ring. We have an open line. All right, Josh, let's get back to it. You know, talking about Mike Evans and Hall of Fame or not, you know, consistency. How many touchdowns does Mr. Evans have, Josh, for his career, sir?
81.
Well, he plays three more years and gets seven a year. He'll be over 100 touchdowns. If you get 100 touchdowns, Josh, I'm going to say that guarantees you first ballot Hall of Fame. Yes or no?
No.
No. Scott. First ballot Hall of Fame if he gets 200 TDs.
It depends who else. In that case, it would depend who else is in the class. But, you know, again, you have receivers that quarterbacks make great, and you have receivers that make quarterbacks great or good. Mike Evans is a receiver that I don't care what quarterback he plays with, he's going to do his thing. I really believe that. You, Devontae Adams, who's his quarterback's been?
Well, he had Mr. Aaron Rodgers. We're going to see if he goes to the Jets, which everything appears to be that way. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Who did Evans have? He had 3 years of Tom Brady. The last year, I don't count.
Right. Before that?
We had Jameis, who
was off and on.
Right.
No, Freeman. Okay. No, if we're going to reference Jameis in this, then you have to acknowledge our defense was god-awful during that time. We were playing from behind all the time, and Jameis was just chucking it up in garbage time mode, and Mike was able to pad his stats consistently. Jameis helped him tremendously.
I think it's the other way around.
And no. You are looking from a football angle. We are talking about statistics in the Hall of Fame. This isn't X's and O's. This is about numbers. And your entire argument for Mike is consistent 1,000-yard seasons, which was enabled by Jameis.
Not just that. My thing for Mike, and I'll say it again, when the football fan sitting in the stands or sitting on their couch is watching football, they follow the ball. Mistake number one. You will never know what value a player has if that's how you watch the game.
Correct.
Sorry, coming from a coach, that's just facts.
X's and O's.
The X's and O's matter. When Mike Evans, what he does to a defense, that counts for something. And when peers look at that, when people will decide he's got 100 touchdowns, he's got 1,000 yards every year he played the game, they are going to look at a total package. Do I say first round? That's a toss-up. But, yes, I believe he is a Hall of Famer. I believe his peers look at him that way. And that's just...
But Josh hit a nerve that hits with me. You know, a lot of guys will hit home runs, you know, and they're down 7-2. That home run really didn't have any meaning. You know, do you want to knock the guy's stats for that? It depends on how many of those he has. Again, Josh is right. How many fourth quarter touchdowns did you get when you were losing 35-10? Obviously, you know, are we going to make a big deal about that? Oh, you got 50 yards in the fourth quarter your whole career because your defense was terrible.
About how many go-ahead touchdowns did he catch?
That's
a stat to look at.
That would be a good one.
I don't know if it exists.
Oh, yeah.
But, I guess any stat exists.
You can. You know, the other thing I like to look at a receiver that doesn't get enough credit, how many third-down conversions did this guy get? Because that's what makes a difference. And I'm surprised fantasy football, Josh, hasn't incorporated that, because to me that's a lot. You know, a third and 12, and you give me a nice comeback route and I hit you and you make the first 10, is a lot tougher than a 1 yard flip to the tight end.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you say that leagues haven't done it yet, some leagues have. There are certain leagues and formats. This is where the evolution of the game, there's
excellent.
So many different offerings and platforms. It's just a conversation you have to have with your league mates and commissioner.
Yeah.
To say, hey, we should reward, because most people agree with you. First downs are. It's just that it's a radical change at first, kind of like PPR for some leagues. But then once you explain it, and it takes a little bit, they wind up agreeing with you. But for me, whenever you're evaluating Hall of Fame, it is all about how you performed relative to your peers. And Mike Evans has only had, like, again, that 1,000-yard number to me is just extremely arbitrary. He only had one elite season. To me, which is at least 1,300 yards. So he had two of them. So he's only been top 10 in yards twice. Of all those 1,000-yard seasons, he's only had two times where he was top 10 in terms of yards.
But again, going back to your
argument. And only one in catches.
But here's the thing. Those 1,300-yard seasons, if they were during Jameis's, you know, and junk yards, you know, in the fourth quarter, I would prefer the guy with 1,000 yards and so forth. Now, when you mentioned Davante Adams, we know what the Packers were doing. So they were not junk touchdowns, brother.
But he's all they were throwing to.
That's some truth to that, too, Scott.
How many years, if we look at Davante Adams, he's been in the league how many years?
Only about six, right? Maybe seven?
They came in the league together. They were the same draft class. That's why they're perfect comparables.
Right. So
So how many 1,000-yard seasons does Davante have?
Davante has 1,300 yards. Answering your question, you need to understand it. There are two 1,500-yard seasons, two 1,300-yard seasons, a 997-yard season. Do you count that as 1,000?
Yeah. I'm not going to get silly.
Yes or no? 997 yards. Does it count as 1,000 towards your arbitrary number?
No.
Okay. Well, he has two of those, two 997-yard seasons, but those don't count apparently for you.
Okay, so how many seasons out of nine is, we're talking nine seasons, right?
Yes.
How many has he been over 1,000 yards in those nine seasons?
Do you count the 997 or not?
How? No. How
okay, many? Then only four. And those are
okay,
all in the
and
four.
Even if you count them, it's only six.
Correct. And now how many 1,300
yard seasons?
And he
played for a much better quarterback.
No. Now you're going back. We already acknowledged Jameis helped pad those numbers and pad those stats. Rodgers and the Packers were playing ahead.
But they only threw to that. And look at his.
And not only that, but no, I'm going to turn this on its head right now. Davante Adams leaves for the first time, and Aaron Rodgers had the worst season of his career.
Oh, yeah. Davante helped him, too. Good point, Josh.
Guys, but if you look at the number
Davante
of balls,
has led the league in touchdowns twice. Mike has never done it.
Look at the number of throw twos Devontae's had to get those and compare. That's what I want to look at. How many balls has Davante?
This is going to be interesting, Scott. Garoppolo and Adams this year. Let's see what happens.
There you go.
That'll be really interesting. To
and
see
Evans with Huette with Baker.
No, the point I was making is with Rodgers and, you know, not having Rodgers, and we'll see what Garoppolo does after he had Derek Carr. That's all.
Right, but you think Derek Carr and Rodgers are comparable? Like, aren't Derek Carr and Jameis pretty comparable?
Yes.
Okay, and Devontae just put up 1,500 yards and led the league with 14 touchdowns.
How many yards? How many
That's
yards?
That's impressive, brother.
Guys, Cameron Brate led the league in touchdowns a year, too.
But, dude, 1,500 yards with that team? But again,
I get it. How many throws? How many throw-tos has Davante Adams got over his career, and how many has Michael Evans
okay,
got?
Okay, there's some.
I'm not
there.
Saying catches. I'm saying
right.
thrown to.
Yeah, well, shoot, we haven't the stats opportunities.
I don't know. So you're saying catch rate?
No.
How many times did he have a chance to catch the ball?
Targets.
Dang it, I couldn't think of more.
But there's actual catchable targets, and then there's just being targeted.
I hate that.
No, targeted. How many? Yeah. What? How many of each of them? If Evans has been targeted more, then the argument changes.
It does. And the other thing,
8.96 versus 8.65 targets per game. It's the same.
It's close. Yeah. Now here's the other thing, Josh. That you have to go back on your argument a little bit, though. Too, the Raiders' defense last year was putrid. That's why he did have a lot of yards and a lot of catches, and they lost their stud. Wide receiver,
once again, Mike Evans and Davante Adams is a great comparison.
Yeah,
entered the league at the same time.
Yeah.
And guys, this is the ultimate sports debate: longevity versus peak. It's up to you in terms of preference what you prefer. I want the guy that's going to give you multiple 1,500 yard seasons that leads the league multiple years,
how
not
many
this
yards do
60
they
yards
have?
A game.
How many yards do they each have?
Total career yards. Per game? Because I don't know if they've played the same amount of games.
Well, that matters, too.
No, they have played the same amount of games. What do you got? Mike has played 137 games and has 10,425 yards with 81 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Adams has played 133 games, has 9,637 yards with 87 touchdowns.
So they're...
They're comparable.
Pretty darn comparable.
And I want the peak. So once again, you want the peak, and that's why Davante Adams is going to make the Hall of Fame and Mike Evans isn't.
I want the first of all, you talk about a peak, great, but his peak hasn't pulled him away from Evans is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
When you just compared their numbers, they are an identical receiver.
Here's the difference is Davante Adams just signed a big deal and got traded as a premier elite wide receiver just last year. Nobody is going after Mike Evans like that. Mike Evans isn't getting another big fat contract, is he? No, he's not.
No, but...
Same age, same draft class.
Right, but also...
One guy is still elite and the other isn't.
See, and that's where we disagree. I think you are in the minority thinking Mike Evans is not an elite
You know what's
receiver.
Funny? No, we're going to talk a little
Talking
fast.
Top 5 versus top 12.
We're going to take a little thing right now, Josh and I, and then we're going to take a quick timeout in 2 minutes, but... Let's start it, and then you all are going to want to stay tuned and come back to this. Talk a little fantasy, Josh. Davante Adams, I believe, was a first-round fantasy pick last year. Okay? I think Evans was a second round. If we're going, fantasy and pro ball are different. We all know that. But it's kind of funny how they were going and not that much of a difference in the eliteness is all I'm saying. I believe Evans was going around 22, 23 in most leagues, and Adams was going about 11 or 12. So,
Adams was at the end of the first round, whereas Evans was going around maybe the second, third turn, depending.
Yeah, 23 to 25.
And Adams had what, 400 more yards? And
let's put it like this. He was probably the 10th wide receiver taken in fantasy world. And, you know, you still had Godwin here, and you still had, you know, Brate, and the wide receivers throwing the ball to them. So it's an interesting topic and to talk about. We'll take your calls at 877-969-8600
Raise
after this quick timeout.
Raise time.
Yes, sir. 13-2, baby.
Hi, folks, it's the captain here. I want you to check out the stem cell activation patch that will do wonders. Give them a call, 727-776-4552. Better, safe, more energy, improved skin, and increased health with a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Call 727-776-4552 for the stem cell activation patch that will do wonders, and tell them the captain sent you. That's 727-776-4552.
Hello, this is Patrick Hyland with The Sports Zone. Heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.
Here's the latest from the Answer News Center.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Global and Chinese automakers plan to unveil more than a dozen new electric SUVs, sedans, and muscle cars this week at the Shanghai Auto Show, their first full-scale sales event in 4 years in a market that's developing its own EVs, self-driving cars, and other futuristic technology. Global automakers are competing to roll out appealing electric vehicles in the technology's biggest, most crowded market after the ruling Communist Party invested billions of bucks in subsidies in that industry. Beijing is protesting U.S. sanctions against additional Chinese companies over their alleged attempts to evade U.S. export controls on Russia. They call it an illegal move that will endanger global supply chains. And officials say several cars of a freight train derailed yesterday and caught fire in rural Maine. Nobody badly hurt. This is SRN News.
Tens of
AM 860, The Answer. Listen on our website, theanswertampa.com. 93.7 FM. W229DJ Dunedin. By downloading the Answer Tampa app or on TuneIn or Odyssey. The latest from AccuWeather at the top and bottom of the hour. Only on AM 860, The Answer.
Today will be mostly cloudy with a couple of heavy thunderstorms. I'll be 84. Tonight, partly cloudy with a couple of showers and a thunderstorm. The low will be 70. Tomorrow, sunny, pleasant, and less humid with a high 80. Tuesday, nice with plenty of sunshine and a high 84. Wednesday, partly sunny, warm with a high 89. Thursday, partly sunny with a passing shower or two. The high will be 88. That's your AccuWeather forecast. I'm Garrett Beck for AM 860, The Answer.
Hello, this is Patrick Hyland with The Sports Zone. Heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.
Welcome back to The Sports Zone. Let's get back to the discussion. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, toll free, 877-969-8600. And now your host, Patrick Hyland.
All right, folks, welcome back into the Sports Zone. We're going to finish up that discussion like we promised. Davante Adams, Mike Evans, a lot of guys, I think when they get their second big contract, that's when you can see if a guy is all that. Do you look at longevity? Do you look at short-term all-pro Super Bowl titles? Everything's very subjective, and that's what makes sports great and wonderful. So, you know, I think of Chris Carter. You know, that guy was something special. And I don't know if he was a first ballot, second, third, what his situation was, Josh. He was a good one. And I wish the Dolphins would have got him from the get-go instead of the Vikings. But, hey, talk about a tandem, Chris Carter and Randy Moss. How would you like to throw those guys, Scott? I sure would have loved that.
I think I could have.
Yeah.
I think anyone could have.
You ain't lying, brother. You ain't lying. Would have been nice. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Rays now. 13-2. 13-0 and then two losses, man. A little demoralizing, but hey, you know what? Again, what's the record? 13-2.
13-2.
We'll take it, baby. I do not want to see him get swept today, though. That would be very demoralizing. And the reason I don't want to see it happen is the MLB was real nice to us. They gave us a real nice cotton candy schedule to start the season, and the Red Sox haven't quite hit the peak yet. And, you know, thank God, or we wouldn't be 13-0. And we won a few games we shouldn't have. Toronto's all that, okay? And then we play a real team, and now we're down, you know, let's not get swept because that's going to be an indicator of where we really are.
I will say it when you watch baseball, these guys are so good.
Oh yeah.
Even the worst guy on the bench is real good.
You betcha.
Or they wouldn't be there.
That's right.
I mean, obviously. But when you watch the Rays playing the other day, the afternoon, their matinee game, and you see a routine pop up, and you see the left fielder come over, the second baseman go out, the center fielder come up, and they pull a 8-year-old play, and they all stop, look at each other, and the ball falls in between all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
It shows they're human.
Absolutely. I mean, it happens, man.
I mean, and the bad thing about it is that gets a hit when it should be an error on the center fielder, yeah, by far. I mean, you call everything off as a center fielder. But it is funny seeing these pros make 8-year-old mistakes.
Oh, yeah, because we're human. It just, you know, your mind gets a fog occasionally. And, you know, I've seen guys in the outfield, you know, can of corn and just close their glove before the ball got there.
Yep.
And boom, it pops out and you go, wow, what happened?
Did you see we supposedly had, I think it was 21,000 people at that Thursday afternoon game?
That's the game I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I made the comment, does anyone work? But that's why I think the stadium, the way they're looking at redoing the whole thing in St. Pete, putting in the housing, the apartments, the senior living, all that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to work.
I hope so. You know, I don't mind if they stay there. If it works over there, I'm fine with it. I mean, where I want to put the stadium, that proves that I don't have any inclination of being prejudiced in this matter. It's going to take me 30 minutes to get to wherever they put the stadium, so I don't care. Just get the most fans there so we can keep the baseball team, period. It's that simple to me. So I'm just thinking about what makes the most sense to everybody, and to everybody would be the fairground.
Joshua, does it show in there how many fans attended last year home games?
Yeah, we had an average attendance of 13,927. It was the second worst in the AL.
I mean, so over the year, that was how many?
What?
I mean, roughly 13,000, 80 games.
80 games.
It was 1,128 in 1.1.
So that's great. In three nights, Taylor Swift got a quarter of what the Rays got all season.
I mean,
come on, that's exclusivity, though, with the only three days.
It's just kind of funny.
No, I'm just saying, she got a quarter of a million people.
But no, the biggest thing I see on here right now is that we are 8th out of 15th in terms of average home attendance right now. And, of course, that's helped tremendously by the hot start, but at least it shows that if you win, you create a little bit of hype, you give people a reason to get excited, then people will go over. I was with one of my buddies at St. Pete the other night, and he was saying, you know, shoot, it is. It's right there. I might as well go to a few games. Might as well pitch in. It's cheap. You can go sit wherever you want.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, when they're giving you $10.
I mean, is that real they don't
between
care?
No, between first and third is where they're strict about it. You know, on camera, behind home plate, those are the expensive seats.
Yeah.
Even
then, do they the sixth or seventh inning when there's only like 5,000 fans, they kind of don't mind if you kind of slow us behind the plate to make it look like
I'm sure they were a little bit more strict.
Do they still have the Ray
weeks.
Tank?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so the little people that did the big protest, they kept the Rays tank?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Hey, that was a big protest.
I know.
There were six people out there.
No. The silliness, man, in this world, Lord help us.
The Taylor Swift stuff really was nuts. Across the stadium, I think it was on Friday at noon, and I was just going to a UPS right there across from the stadium by the wing house and everything.
Sure.
They were already charging $50 for parking. And I'm going up just to, again, like, go to the UPS. And the guy's like, hey, $50. I was like, do I look like I'm going to the Taylor Swift concert right now? I mean, in what ass? But it was just nuts. The little microeconomy that it creates is insane. But it also shows you how much Tampa is growing. That is the destination city for one of the largest superstars in the world to want to plan and do a three-day event here. And if you looked at the traffic maps coming in from Sarasota, St. Pete, Brandon, Orlando.
It's a Florida concert, though, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I heard it. I might be. But it goes back to, like you just said, and this goes back to the Bucks games and what goes on at that stadium. You've had these people since Al Lopez Stadium, where the Reds played their spring training.
That's right.
And the old sombrero.
Yes.
Before they even closed in the end zones. You've had people that live in those neighborhoods counting on what you just said to park cars. And now the fact that an event like this where those people can make some money and it helps, like you said, is we now have our mayor and some of our elected city council wanting to tell people it's your property, you own it, but you can't park a car there.
Right.
BS.
Well, what's the other thing about that, Scott, is this, okay? You're at the stadium. You can charge me for $10 for a bottle of water, right, which is about 1,000% markup, okay? And if a hurricane comes through here and I have a generator and Home Depot and Lowe's and everybody else is out of them and you want it from me, the thing cost me $500. I can sell it. If I sell it to you for $5,000, I'm going to jail. You know? So help me out with that concept. Why is it okay to gouge people at the stadium, but you can't gouge people out in public? AKA back to your parking. You don't want to park here? Don't park. You know, I don't like it, but, you know, if I get, you know, $20 ahead, you don't want to pay the $20, that's fine. Check down the road. Can you help me out with that concept?
No.
Okay. Is it hypocritical?
Of course.
Of course. It doesn't make sense to me. Josh, can you justify it or tell me maybe I'm being too harsh or wrong here?
America.
That's right.
I mean, look, Daniel Snyder, objectively bad person, bad business person, bad for different reasons.
Yeah.
And he gets to sell his team for $6 billion.
God bless America.
I mean,
he is bad at being an NFL owner. There is no question. That is an objective fact.
Yeah.
And so, again, for all these things about meritocracy and everything, and now he gets to cash out for $6 billion.
I'm going to sort of take back that bad business person because you just said he got $6 billion. Sounds like a heck of a businessman to me.
No, he said he was a good businessman. He's
not a good person. He was not good at owning and managing the Washington Caucasians. He has never been good at it, but now he still gets to cash out and make a pretty penny.
Seems pretty good at it.
Right place, right time, to say the least.
So are the Rays bats going to keep rolling?
I think so. I really do. Yeah, man. I watched a few spring training games and said, you know what? This team this year, they're making contact. They're making good at bats. It's different, man. It's different. And now with the running rules, they have a little speed to manufacture some runs, too. And if the pitching hangs in there, you know what they're doing, Scott? I relate it to golf. When you play golf scrambles, I hit a great shot, and you hit a bad one. Then I hit a bad shot, you hit a great one. They're brother-in-lawing it in is what we call it in golf. And in baseball, they're at the point now they can beat you 1-0 or they can beat you 10-9. That's pretty impressive, Scott. So. Yeah. I hope they can keep it going, man.
Hey, when they had that inning on the matinee game where they scored 7 runs, all on base hits.
There you go, man.
All on base hits.
Station to station, baby.
That really is impressive. And the other thing that was exciting to watch, and no, he didn't win, but how about Lefty popping up in the Masters?
Oh, yeah, to come in second place.
He shot a 64, 65 that
65,
day?
65, last day, man, to get in the hunt. John Rahm, though, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott. The RBC Heritage Classic going on right now. That's really a cool golf course, people. You're going to want to watch, if you enjoy golf, tune into CBS this afternoon around 4:30 and see who's going to win this thing. The last few holes there are so pretty and picturesque,
right there on the water. I mean, it's just awesome.
So
it's a fun it's a fun leaderboard too. You got Cantlay and Spieth up there.
How does that work with these guys that are playing in
the LIV? They let them go into that. It's funny, people were complaining, Scott, about not showing Mickelson enough. Well, you know, he was 6 under and he was in the top 15, and then he went birdie with 17 and 18 to pop up to number 2. So it's funny. Again, here we go with criticism, always looking at the negative. And, you know, they don't like Phil because of what he's done, but he's woken them up, hasn't he? Saying, okay, folks, you know, it's not all about the PGA. It is the players, too. I dig that. But getting back to John Rahm, I want to talk about. That guy made a commitment in January to play in this tournament, you know? And a lot of guys, after they win the Masters, they bow out of this. He says, no, I can't do that. I made the commitment. I'm going to honor that. That's why people dig John Rahm. He's funny. Remembers acceptance speech, messing around with Kelsey, you know, and Ertz, you know, about their friendships. And now Ertz said, boy, that first green looks good to me, baby. You know, the 4 putts. Thanks, brother.
I turned in the match, and I thought it was on rain delay. Because the first shot I caught was the kid, and I can't think of his name, coming out of the rough, hitting almost the exact same shot Tiger hit.
Oh, yeah.
When the ball went, I'm like, oh, it's a replay. That's Tiger's shot.
Right.
And then I realized
it was live.
Yep.
That was cool.
I know we've got a break here, but yes. The flip side of Rahm actually committing and upholding his commitment after that big week is Rory paid $3 million to not show up.
Exactly.
Which, and after going 4 over and not making the cut, no, I know it's not great, but for him, I wonder if he's dealing with something right now, because he went, again, 4 over at Augusta as a favorite, didn't make the cut, and now you're paying $3 million just to not play golf?
That's interesting, Josh, yeah, because I had him in my FanDuel. We'll do a shout-out for the FanDuel, and he killed me!
Did you have Zalatoris, too?
No, I didn't play him.
That would have been, imagine having both of those guys, Willie Z dropping out early. And
I had Lowry and Cantlay. That's what helped me cash. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick timeout here on AM 860 Answer, the Sports Zone. When we come back, we'll finish up, talk about the Lightning a little bit and see how they're going to do in the playoffs. And we'll discuss a little basketball and see how that's going to turn out.
Hi, folks, it's the captain here. I want you to check out the stem cell activation patch that will do wonders. Give them a call, 727-776-4552. Better, safe, more energy, improved skin, and increased health with a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Call 727-776-4552 for the stem cell activation patch that will do wonders, and tell them the captain sent you. That's 727-776-4552.
Hello, this is Patrick Hyland with The Sports Zone, heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.
Hugh Hewitt doesn't see the Biden team finding the leak.
New details on intelligence leak show it circulated for weeks before raising the alarm. Gosh, Team Biden is not so smart. Right there, you say, well, evidently a couple of things leaked out, but it's all been junked up and then propagandized, so there's no good information there. And if it was ours, it was done by a person who got fired. You know, it's not my dog, it didn't bite you, besides you kicked it first defense. You don't give validity to the leak.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 860. The Answer and theanswertampa.com.
Bill Bunkley with something to think about. The Bible says, God commands us not to bear false witness in Exodus 20:16. But how many people take him at his word and obey him? Well, apparently, not too many. Some say there are big lies, small lies, and oh yes, the white lies. But God says a lie is a lie, period. Can you spot a liar? It should be very easy because they're all around us. A recent survey indicates that an average person tells 4 lies a day, which works out to 120 a month, or 1,440 lies a year. Now that's a lot of lying going on. So how about Christians? I wonder if they lie more or less than the average person. I hope their lying numbers are much lower, but one thing is for sure. Christians clearly understand that only one person was sinless about lying, and that was Jesus Christ. Now go and sin no more. I'm Bill Bunkley.
Welcome back to the Sports Zone. Let's get back to the discussion. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, toll free 877-969-8600. And now your host, Patrick Hyland.
All right, folks, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to AM860 The Answer. Everybody leaving from church right now, thanks for tuning in and checking us out. We'll try to give you a fun 10 minutes of sports talk. And you can catch me on Captain Matt Bruce's show tomorrow from 5:47 to 5:57 as we talk about what's going on in the sports world. We'll talk a little NASCAR, and we'll talk a little bit of basketball playoffs, and see if the Rays go 14-2 or 13-3. So tune in tomorrow on this great station at that time. All right, let's get to the wonderful Lightning. I want to talk about them. Josh, I want to. Something doesn't jive to me. They're going to take on Toronto, okay? And I might have just looked at it, and that's on me. What was Toronto's final record, and what was the Lightning's final record this year?
The Maple Leafs, 50-21-11. So they had 111 points. Okay. We had 98.
Okay, very good. Okay, just wanted to make sure of that. Now, does the NHL get cute with that a little bit? I thought they did back in the day, but does one play eight, two play seven, three play? Okay, mm-hmm. And it goes by the points. Okay, that's the way it should be,
I think.
Okay. Yeah, they've done some different things back and forth there. You know, thinking about now we're going to get into the NBA playoffs here for a couple minutes, Josh, and we'll see how our Lightning do. The problem with it is they're going to have to play four times in Toronto, possibly, and that's going to make it tough on them. I hope they can at least get through the first round. You know, that would be pretty cool, man. 4 years in a row getting past the first round. That's, to me, very impressive. Talk about longevity. You know, Mike Evans, longevity, that's what you're looking
for.
It's
interesting how you're kind of resetting your expectations, though. The past few years, it's all been about cup or bust. You know, now let's just try to get out of the first round.
Well, you got to take them one step at a time. We've been on that roller coaster ride this past month. That scares me. So I want to be realistic. Right. Now, if we get past the first round,
bingo.
Then I might be going, hello, and Vasilevskiy plays like, you know, the goalie of old. He has a Mike Quick. You know, mm-hmm. May and mm-hmm. June, guess what?
And especially if
they win it all, like the Kings won it all.
Yeah, right. And especially if the Ice Cats can beat the Bruins, then it would really, really amp things up.
Yeah, they look so good, the Boston Bruins. Go ahead, Scott.
It's so hard when you get into the playoffs, and I think especially in hockey, to underestimate the experience in the heart of a championship team.
That's true.
Hockey is that type of sport where, like you said, you light up and, you know, you go back to days of old. They're still a real talented team.
Very much so. They just have to hit that peak,
They're still a real talented team.
I'd love to see it happen. That'd be so cool. But, you know, I just want to see them get past this first round. Because right now, I bet Toronto's favored to beat them in the first round. So we're underdogs right now. So I want to keep my expectations.
Toronto.
So that's why I want to keep my expectations in check.
Is home ice that important in hockey, do you think?
I think so, very much so. Not as much as other sports, but it's still, it makes a difference.
Wasn't it last year where someone was messing up line changes or something because we were so loud? I don't know. Yeah. I might be conflating it. But there's definitely some home ice advantage.
There's home ice advantages. It's kind of funny. Only one time I remember when it really didn't matter and it was funny, it's when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup, you know, their first time.
Yeah.
They couldn't win at home, and they won on the road. And the team they were playing couldn't win on at home, but they could win on the road. It was the weirdest series of all time, in my opinion.
The old John McKay.
Yeah.
Well, we proved we can't win on the road and we can't win at home.
Exactly. So maybe they'll give us a neutral site. He was the best guy. He was great for Tampa Bay, wasn't he? You know, you brought it up earlier. That's why I love Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay used to be the
laughing stock.
Not about sports, Scott. Just in general, the city has grown so much. As Josh was saying earlier, Miami used to be the big city of Florida, you know, and now, you know what? We're not the baby brother anymore here in Tampa Bay, and I dig that. And I love Miami too, but you know, it's kind of neat to see the progression of Tampa Bay, and I think sports has had something to do with that. So there is something to be said how sports can help out a community. It just depends on how much. And we can get analytical about that till we're blue in the face. So I want to talk about the playoffs a little bit, Josh, and see what your thoughts are with basketball. The Lakers and Memphis. Okay, the Lakers have gotten hot, but I can't see them beating Memphis. Am I crazy or am I right in your humble opinion?
Oh, you're not crazy by any means. I mean, Memphis is favored to win the series. They were the better team throughout the majority of the season. The biggest thing with the Lakers is that they made so many big trades in the middle of the season, like big, very consequential trades that kind of went under the radar because it wasn't a big star that they normally acquire. So I like the Lakers to beat Memphis, but not confident about it. I'm not going to be wagering on it or anything like that. Gotcha. I'm very curious to see how they look later, definitely. Jaren Jackson Jr. is really, really, really developing.
Yes,
and
he
they're kind of unlocking him, so going to be interesting to see what happens.
Here's what I'm curious to see. And you and I both like this kid, Ja Morant. You know, he can play. Ja Morant.
And
Morant.
I meant. Morant. I'm thinking of
somebody. You made him French.
Yeah.
If his head stays out of his butt.
Yeah, that's key. But here's what I'm alluding to. Josh, Scott, let Josh go first. You have AD and LeBron with 2 minutes left in the game and the game tied. And you got Mr. Morant, okay? And whoever else they're going to kind of, you know, put out there with him. You know, is LeBron past his prime? Is he getting tired? Is he past it? Or does AD and LeBron find a way in the last 2 minutes in a tie game to win more than they lose? Give me your take on that.
I trust LeBron and AD to make the smart basketball decision in that situation. If you watch the end of the Tuesday play-in game where they came back against the Timberwolves, it was vintage LeBron where he drives to the lane and he made the right play. He passed it to the wing to the open guy and the guy made the shot. So I think that they're just their basketball IQ I trust more than Memphis.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. Now, if you're asking me to end the game, you got LeBron sitting there covering Morant for the last shot. No, I don't think LeBron can stay with him. But I'm never going to count LeBron out.
There you go. That's a great way to put it, Scott. Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today on AM 860 The Answer, the Sports Zone. We do appreciate our audience very much. We try to make it fun and entertaining for you and love for you to call in at 877-969-8600 next week. And you know, give us your takes. Give us your 5 cents. We always love to have that type of bantering. So we will catch you next week here on this great station. Check out the Captain's America Third Watch tomorrow from 2 in the morning to 6 in the morning. And that's always a fun, great show. And he's going to tell you what's going on in the world, baby. And thanks again to our military.
Check us out on Facebook, The Sports Zone on Facebook. And with that, peace, Tampa Bay. Peace.
Hello, this is Patrick Hyland with The Sports Zone. Heard on this great station from 11 to 12 every Sunday. Also, during the week, I help out people with their insurance and financial needs. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. Anything to do with Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, life insurance, or annuities. Give me a call at 813-966-1052. We'll discuss your insurance needs and some sports.